for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, November the 27th, 2016. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the power of God.
Praise God. I think of, at this time, I think of home and church there. We have a very faithful, able assistant pastor. He is conducting the service now. He's 28, this term 28. Praise God. But a mighty man of God. Praise God. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about the power of God, and this is what God gave me for here. Praise God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to minister, Lord, to preach your word, to talk, Lord Jesus, to your people and say what you have for them, Lord. And we ask, Lord, for your Holy Ghost anointing and the power of God. And that your Spirit, Lord, your power will confirm the words in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, Simon was formerly a soothsayer. But he was a believer now. Scripture says he believed. So we want to establish at that point that he was a believer. And then verse 19, saying, now he saw something that he was so impressed with. He saw something. And saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He was so impressed with what? Power. He saw power that was far greater than anything he had operated in. And this man had operated in power. It wasn't God's power. But he was so impressed with the power that he saw. I mean, he's just overwhelmed with what he's seen. One time I was preaching and then praying for people in Rio Grande de Zacatecas. It's about 500 miles into Mexico. And God was moving mightily, the power of God. And a lady there that could speak some English, and she came to me and said, power, power, power. Well, that's kind of strange, but that's because she saw the power of God operating in those lives there, in that church. And this man, Simon, is impressed. There's nothing wrong with being impressed with the power of God. We ought to be. And all through Jesus' ministry, we see people that are so impressed by the power that operates through his life. I'd rather go to a service like that. I'd rather be in something like that, you know, than have to try to, just be bored out of your gourd. Disappointed and sleepy and you know, same old thing. You could say what they're going to do, when they're going to do it before you got there. But the power of God is operating. I just want to establish that he is impressed with the power of God. And he wants that power. There's nothing wrong with him wanting that power. We all this morning are to desire that power. It's not just a matter of either of maybe I do, maybe I don't. I'll say this morning right off, you and I are not going to make it without this power. The church is not going to make it without this power. Amen. The reason this nation's in the condition it's in is because there is no power in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's no power among his people. We're just like all the rest. To an extent, I'm saying, for the most part, what calls itself the church is just like the rest of the world. Even trying to act like the world to attract people. Even using the things the world does to attract people. Marketing the church. And using whole high-profile personalities, all those things. Verse 20. Now, he said, give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So he offered them money. That part, you know, there's no question, is wrong. He comes with his money. He's counted his money out before he comes to Peter. And I think this will be enough. This is a lot of money. The man will appreciate it. The ministry, the church, whatever. I don't know what he's thinking, but here he comes with his money. Checkbook, whatever. Credit card, debit card. He's got the money. And he means business. And he offers money for it. But Peter said, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God, in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. So we see this power is not something that can be bought, neither is it something that can be taught or learned. But it must be granted. It must be granted. Peter had the power, but Peter didn't buy the power. He didn't go to power school to learn how to have the power. He received that power on the day of Pentecost, as the others did in the upper room. This power from on high is not something that we can own or use how, where, and when we desire. But it's furnished on a need basis. On a need basis. What I'm saying is, it's not like you have your computer and you can use it when you want to, or you have this or you have that, or you have a talent or you have skill, and it's there at your disposal when you want, how you want. But the power of God is on a need basis. It's only given to be manifested when there's a need for it. There's so many things that God does. He gives grace when grace is needed. Now, this power from on high is furnished on a need basis as the Holy Spirit decides. The Holy Spirit decides, distributing to each one individually as He wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. There have been many times I step behind the pulpit and I can't feel anything. In fact, if I feel anything, I'm hurting somewhere. My throat's hurting. I'm disturbed about something. There's all these things. But usually I know if I can get behind that pulpit, or maybe just a little before I get behind it, it goes away. God just takes care of it. Praise God. There's a battle to get behind this pulpit. There is a battle. But it's like the Jesus told the 10 lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. As they went, the power of God came. Amen. So you obey God. If you're waiting to feel the power before you obey God, you may never do anything. Amen. But you obey and the power comes. Okay? You step out in faith and the power comes. When we say power, however that's to be manifested. The Lord may tell you to go give a word to someone, but you don't have a word. But you go. And as you go, God gives a word. Or when you get there, God gives a word. Or while you're fumbling around, waiting on the word, while you're standing in front of them. Why are you here? Well, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm, you know, God, you better give me something. Praise God. Luke 24:49. And behold, I, that's the Lord speaking, send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power from on high. Not till you get your diploma, not till you whatever, learn these lessons I have for you, but you receive power from on high. I tell you, the kingdom of God doesn't operate like this world operates. Amen. It operates in power, but the power comes from Him. Praise God. Now, to be endued means to be endowed, granted, given, furnished, provided, invested with power from on high. We have to remember where it's coming from, on high. Now, here in these are the last words of instruction from Jesus before he goes to the Father. And they were given to Jesus from the Father. Now, what do we see here that is the utmost importance for the citizens of the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the most important thing that they are now to pursue, that they are now to go after, that they're to wait for? What is it? It's power. I know it comes from the Holy Spirit, but he says till you be endued with, he could have said anything, but he says power from on high. Power from on high. I tell you, if David had went before Goliath without that power, it wouldn't have turned out like it did. Praise God. It didn't come up out of David, so to speak, but it was God came, showed up, and did what needed to be done. Now, let me ask you, is this power for personal benefits, for prosperity, financial security, a comfortable lifestyle, material possessions, success in business or careers, a great retirement, fun and entertainment, excitement, human relationships, education, health, the American dream, a reputation? Is that what this power is for? Praise God. You know, I want to say this, God's very jealous over his power. Very jealous over his power. Praise God. That's why this man Simon's in trouble. And he realized it. He realizes, oh, pray if this doesn't happen, you know. Now, I think of of all the things in our lifetime, think of that we desired, that we sought after, we tarried for, we waited for, we anticipated, and yet those things were at their best temporal, and even perhaps a waste of our time and our effort. I've seen God, myself, and others give people what they were asking for, and they wish they never got it. But God let them have it. But what does it mean to tarry for something or someone? Now, in tarrying for the power that comes from on high, I'm not ashamed this morning to say the word power. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not shying away from this term power. Why don't we have the power? Why don't we want the power? What is it about us? Oh, God, shake us. We need the power. He promised us the power. But we go out and try to do things in our own self. Our own power, our own ability, our own intellect, our own talents and skills. Now, what does it mean to tarry? To tarry means to make, to sit down, to sojourn, to wait for, to settle down, to abide, to dwell in, to remain or stay as in a place, to inhabit, to temporarily dwell, to delay, to postpone or be tardy in acting, starting, or coming to. It means to linger, to halt, to be in readiness for, to be reserved for, to wait, await, to remain inactive or in a state of repose. That means rest, peace, calm, tranquility, until something expected happens. Expected happens. Anticipated. To look forward to something eagerly. To remain neglected, so to speak, for a while. Neglected. I'll tell you, if you walk in the Spirit, there'll be times in your life you feel very neglected and alone and perhaps afraid. But he said, you tarry. You tarry. Hebrews 11:9, by faith, Abraham. I want to give you this example of tarrying. By faith, Abraham sojourned. That means he tarried. He waited in the land of promise. That's the land that God promised to him and to his descendants. By faith, he sojourned as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. This sojourning of Abraham, and that's, in, of course, in Hebrews 11, as we said, has always caught my attention for a long time, that we sojourn. All of us are sojourning. We are pilgrims passing through. but we are sojourning. We are waiting. You know that man and his son and grandson were never allowed to build a house like everyone else. They lived in tents. They never owned a piece of property to build a house on. But they waited. They sojourned. This is a picture of us tarrying. And of the disciples in the 120 in the upper room, they are sojourning. They're tarrying. They're waiting for something that God has promised. And I tell you, when it comes, it's going to change their lives forever. The problem with many in the church is they've never got to that place. They've never received this. They've never tarried for it. They've never expected it. They were never even told they could have it. The power is just not in the organ and that you can, you know, put the juice to it and make the building shake. Or whatever you've got. For about 25 years, I went to Mexico and there's a ministry there in Nuevo Laredo, and I tell you, they'll shake that building with that music. I mean, literally shake it. And it's a second floor up there, and I think, oh, I hope this thing got a good foundation because they're shaking it. Well, praise God. Now, Abraham went to the place that the Lord directed him to go to. He went out by faith, not knowing where he's going. You like that? You like going where you don't know where you're going? Praise God. It's all by faith, folks. It's all by faith. Oh, hallelujah. God gives you a mission. He gives you a task to do. And sometimes you don't even know where or what. But you go. He just points you in the direction. On the way, of course, some things have got to fall off. You know all about that. He had some of the relatives had to disappear out of his life. God got him alone. Praise God, no one to depend upon but God. He's there now. You know, when Lot parted from him, separated from him, then God began to speak to that man and tell him what he's going to do. When they separated. I know we fear separations. I know it's very disturbing when these things come. I mean, heartbreaking sometimes. And what are you going to do? But hold on, now God can talk to you. I preached this recently. Our whole walk with God, it's not a joint venture in a sense. It's not. It's you're alone. You're an individual in what you're doing for God, even though we may join in with others. But it's not a mass of people going into heaven. It's one at a time, one person at a time going into heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? You yourself. You waiting on mama, you waiting on daddy, you waiting on somebody, your husband, your wife, you got it. You go. Praise God. Praise God. I believe we heard that tonight. Last night, it's on an individual basis that God deals with us. Now, waiting or sojourning requires that the promisee waits in faith for what the promisor has promised. You wait in faith. The disciples were to wait together in faith or sojourn for the promise of the outpouring and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4, Jesus said, "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." Now, can we, will we, wait for the same promise that God has made to us? Or will we become impatient? Will we grow weary and faint and go away and do what's right in our own sight? Now, what are we to wait for? The thing that we're to tarry for is the fulfillment of a promise that the Heavenly Father has made to us. I know some people, and I've heard many say it, you don't have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. He's already here. Well, I cannot agree with that exactly. I know He's been sent down from heaven. But He's sent down, but I myself and you yourself, we as an individual have to do what they did and tarry for the Holy Ghost. Now, if you disagree, that's fine. Just, you know, it's okay. Whatever. But I don't know about you. But see, when I came into this, they didn't have a class to teach you how to speak in tongues. You tarried. You waited. There was a man. He wasn't in our church at that time. And he began to watch an evangelist on TV, and he got hungry for the Holy Ghost. Well, the Lord began to deal with him, and first thing he dealt with him about his drinking. So he quit drinking. He was going to a Methodist church, and I had met him, and he's still not very far from our church. And so this man, he was really hungry, and one time he just threw himself across the bed and said, "Lord, why won't you fill me with the Holy Ghost?" Some of the best things the Lord will ever do for you is while you're tearing for the Holy Ghost, when He's cleaning junk out of your life and bringing you into submission. If you, I'm going to tell you this, the Lord will see if you really want this or not. Well, and then the Lord spoke to him, he said, and told him, said, "When it's time, I'll do it." Well, we were having a revival, and I just felt like calling a Holy Ghost revival. And so I sent out these things in the mail, Holy Ghost revival. And so he got that in the mail. And when he opened it up and read it, the Lord said, "That's it, go." He came. It was in an old church, a wooden floor, up on blocks. And so we were in there, and I said, "It's just about as dead a service as you want to go to." I don't know why. It was that way. And we didn't have a smoke machine. We didn't have the lights in, you know. It was pretty dead. Well, it was time to go home. Kind of disappointing, you know. And when I'm about, and the Lord said, "You have so-and-so dismissed in prayer." I said, "Man, you have him dismissed in prayer." Well, okay. So I said, "Will you dismiss in prayer?" Well, he started praying. But then he got to praying. And I mean, he got to praying. And I've got my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I hear across that wooden floor. And I looked up, and the evangelist, he run across that floor and slapped that man on the head, and he started speaking in tongues. And the power came on. Praise God. But he had to tarry. There's some tarrying to do. Praise God. Don't you give up when you're tarrying. Whatever it is you're waiting on God for, whatever promise He's made to you. I look in that Bible. You know, Noah probably waited the longest, 120 years, for the promise to come to pass. Now, the flood was coming. The promise was that he and his family would be saved from the flood if he obeyed God. I've been at that church over 38 years. God made me promises. It hasn't happened yet. But he dealt with me about Abraham. I'm getting way off here. But he dealt with me about Abraham and how he grew strong in faith as the thing went along. Wait for that son. Of course, he got out of the will of God and and had Hagar's son, Ishmael. And we're still paying. Everybody's paying for that. And helping God along. See, you're going to help God along. Well, you look at it, he waited 25 years. 25 years. Well, I got to looking at that, and I thought, I even made a poster and put it on the side in that old church building, which I still had it, from there where it's talking about in Romans about this, Romans 4. And so I'm thinking, and then it's getting close. I've been there almost 25 years. You know, Abraham, 25 years, that come, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, that came and went. About 13 years ago, a friend of mine warned me that you don't, I didn't have a word from God about that. I just figured it out. You know, we figure things out. It doesn't work. Well, I'm still waiting, but I'm going to wait. I told the Lord this, and I mean it from my heart. If I die waiting for it and I never see it, these died in the faith, not having received the promises. But they begin to look for a better promise. A better promise. So praise God. How are you going to die? In bitterness and defeat? And, well, God, you said, you know, and you didn't do it. No, die in the face with a smile on your face. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the longer you wait for a promise from God, here comes those voices. Well, maybe you thought that. Maybe God didn't really say that. Maybe God's changed His mind. Maybe, you know, if in my life, if God wanted to cancel that out because of things I've done, He's got plenty of them to do it over. I mean, He does, and He does on you too. But I've told God this. God, You knew me before You ever told me that. And You knew what I'd do. And You knew my failures that would still come. But You told me that, praise God. Well, hallelujah. If the church we're in now is a concrete floor, but if it is wood, not a problem. A warpath in that thing, going around praying those promises, telling them back to God. You know, He knows. He knows. Praise God. There's such a thing as God's timing. You know, God's timing. Now, He's promised to all who believe. Now, I want to tell you this. However, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is not automatic. You read there in Acts 1, they got together, they took care of some business, they're waiting on God in prayer, and they're getting in one accord. They're getting in a place where they can receive the promise. I believe many times we could have received before, a long time before, it would have got in the right position, in faith-wise and obedience and everything. So they're waiting for the power. God wants you and me to live a life of power. He wants us. He wants these signs to follow us. You know, casting out devils, speaking in new tongues, drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Pick up serpents and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that's just a brief summary of what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, baking cakes is not one of those gifts. Everybody's got a gift. You know, I got this in the mail. He wanted us to buy it. And this questionnaire you fill out, and you answer all these questions, you send them back, and they'll feed them to a computer, and they'll tell you what your gifts are. Isn't that just neat? I put it in file 13. You know where that's at. And praise God. Well, one time they had this thing where they figured out that they're going to use a computer and feed all the information in where all our churches are, Assembly of God churches, and this computer is going to tell you where to plant the new churches. And they pay for that. Oh, Lord. You know, get on your face before God. Let God lead you. Let God lead you. I don't need a computer to tell me what to do.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's not automatic. And I want to say that because there are requirements for believers before they can move forward to the fullness of this promise. There are some that teach when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, and that's all you ever get. That's it. You got it. Well, if some of these people have got Him, He's not the same Holy Ghost I know. He's not. That's such a pitiful thing. Some have received just enough of spiritual blessing to inoculate them against the real fulfillment of the promise of the Father. Somebody taught them to say a few words. There's a great big church somewhere. And this church has been the fastest growing church in America and all this. No, I'm not going to tell you where it's at. And this church, but I was reading where all these people get filled with the Holy Ghost every Sunday night. So I read that article, and I thought, I see what that church teaches, and I see what they do. This doesn't sound right. Maybe I've been missing it, you know. So I'm reading along, but what they do is you come down this room, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, they got teachers there, they'll teach you, and when you open your mouth, you cannot say anything in English, you got to say whatever comes in your mind, you say it, and that'll be tongues. God will take it, make it tongues. That's not the way it happened with me. And that's not the way I've ever seen anyone I prayed for receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I'm saying they inoculate them and then they think they got it. I don't mean to say it, but they got this power. Now, they get enough. The gift is necessary for you to become a child of God. For it will produce the life of Christ in us. It's necessary if we are to become a child of God. 1 John 1:12, I'll prove this here with this scripture, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Becoming a son of God, a child of God, let me put it this way, we were saved, we're being saved, we will be saved. It's an ongoing process. And you need the power all the way through. All the way through, every step, every day, every morning you wake up, you need the power of God. I need the power of God. Your car needs power. It's not going anywhere. Your vacuum cleaner has to have power. It's not going to vacuum. You know, on down the list, you guys, you pick up that skill saw, but unless there's power, it's not going to cut a board. You can stand or do this with it. Maybe, I don't know, a couple of days you might get through that board, but you need power. Amen? We need power. God intended for us to have power. It is His intention for you and me to have power. Power beyond anything we have or we know of. You cannot go to seminary and get this power. It might come while you're there, but the seminary and their program and their diploma is not going to give you the power.
Right. Yeah.
I'll get to that maybe. Well, right here, the life of Christ cannot be produced in us and through us by mere words or information. I feel real strong about that. There are messages and teachings that are nothing more than information. They do not change a life. But then there's revelation that speaks life and changes life. I really don't have a lot of time. Sometimes you do out of courtesy, I suppose, to sit there and listen to information. If I want information, I'd get on the internet and get some or read a book. But if I'm going to sit there and the person's going to stand behind that holy desk and claim to be preaching, there must be revelation come out of that mouth.
Okay.
From God. I don't care who we are doing it. Now, the life of Christ cannot be produced in us and through us by mere words, information, education, human will, recovery programs, discipleship classes. Oh, my Lord. I sit in those things in the jail, and I just think, what a waste of these guys' time. You only got this little short time, and you're just wasting their time with this stuff that you're spewing out of your mouth, reading out of your book, whatever. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, though, because I've seen it enough. When God gives me a chance, I've seen it enough that the power of God will work in that jail. The power of God will work under the bridges when we pray for those homeless people. The power of God will work anywhere if there's somebody that He can work through.
Yeah.
Somebody He can work through. Praise God. Now, it won't come through discipleship classes. Brother Clendenin says this teaching terrorists how to act like they're Christians. But you put enough pressure on them, you'll see what they are. That's right. Well, you just get on the freeway in Dallas and go a few miles and find out what they are. You know. It won't come through that. It won't come through training. And don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. It will not come through casting out demons. You and I, the life of Christ is not produced in us by any of those things. But by the power of God. There are things that need to be gotten out of the way. We understand that. And some good training and some good things, it's not going to hurt us. But when it comes down to it, no one can make themselves or anyone else into a child of God. Only the power of God can do that.
Yes, that's right.
God reserves that for Himself. Philippians 2:13, for it's God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God does that by His power. Not one of us has the will or ability to become like Jesus. Therefore, we need a power that is beyond us. Beyond us. Have you tried to change yourself? Have you tried to overcome sin and you found out you couldn't overcome sin? You did everything you thought to do, somebody advised you to do, you did all these things, and you realize that there's something inside of you that's pretty mean. And it's got roots in there. And only the power of God is going to settle that and change that. The power of God working in us. The gift, this gift of God is a fountain of living water springing up within us and producing the life of Christ within us. It's not just one drink. Jesus told that woman at the well, if you drink this, you'll thirst again. But I've got a solution for you, and it's a fountain inside of you that's springing up constantly into eternal life. That's what we got to have. You know who that is? People try to make that salvation message. That is the Holy Ghost He's talking about. I know it is. You can look in John 7 and it's very plain.
Then he says, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You're going to be satisfied. But the water that I shall give him will be in him a wellspring or spring or fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, just as Peter and John could only give the lame man at the gate of the temple what they had, they said, we don't have silver and gold such as we have, give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You cannot give what you do not have. And you cannot change things if you don't have what it takes to change them. And that's the power of God. Now, Jesus, just as Peter, Jesus can only give us what he has. And he has the Holy Spirit without measure. John 3:34. He has the Holy Spirit without measure. He's the baptizer. He's the one that gives the Holy Ghost. We know that. But he can only give what he has. And he went and he received the promise of the Father and sent him down. Here, you read that in Acts chapter 2. That's one way they knew he arrived at the right hand of the Father, because the Holy Ghost came just like he said. You know, we thought about this election and how God did a miracle. Think of those, and most of them are young, but in that 120 in the upper room. Now, if you look at that, they're waiting, they're tearing, they don't even know what they're waiting for, really. They don't even know what to expect. But there comes a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it fills all the house where they're sitting. And there appeared tongues of fire upon their heads, to dispense, dispersing, setting upon their heads. And then Peter rises up and he says, we know he's at the right hand of the Father, because he's shedding forth this which you now see and hear. I tell you, this power has things to see and things to hear, not just hear. And they're just, you know, it's a greater miracle to them than this election was. You understand what I'm saying? By faith, they went and they did it. And they're waiting. Praise God. So he said, so after Peter and John go to the gate, and they tell us that we have some of those such as we have, we give you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Verse 11, Acts 3:11, and as the lame man which was healed held on to Peter and John, he's never even been taught how to walk. He's never walked. He hasn't had his lessons, you know. This is a miracle that he can even walk. Not just that he has the strength to walk, but that he has the ability to walk. Okay, so now your legs are healed. But you're going to have to go to therapy for a while so they can teach you how to walk. No, he can walk. He can not only walk, he leaps, he jumps, he runs through the temple. And so he's holding on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And because they knew this man. He's been there for years, many years. And when Peter saw it, the people coming, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? When you're laying your hands on a sick person, or you are obeying and casting out demons, or you're doing whatever God has given you to do, it is not your own power or your own holiness that's going to do this. Well, if I just get to really feeling something and I start shaking it, I know when I touch them. It's not coming from you.
Right.
Except that he lives in you.
Amen.
Except that he lives in you. Praise God. I've been surprised one time. My daughter plays the piano in our church. And this is years ago, and I looked over there, and she's crying. And the Spirit of God's been moving, and we're worshiping. I walked in and said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Oh," and I knew, I remembered that she had a tooth. It was hurting her so bad she couldn't hardly play the piano. I just laid my hands on her, said a sweet little prayer, and walked back over there. And all of a sudden, and what's happened? She stops playing and says, "God, heal me. It's gone. The pain is gone." You couldn't have, it wasn't, "Boy, you're about to be healed, girl. You're about," no, I just said this sweet little prayer. walked over there, not surprised that she was or anybody else. My, it wasn't my power. Well, I got the power. You do. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But he said, I'll give you power. But you have to realize it's not something I own. It's not something that comes of me. It comes through him. If I don't stay in the right position, I'm not going to have the power. I'll lose it. Praise God. Now, the gift, this gift will come in rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. John 7:37. You know, and as that river is passing through us, yes, it cleanses, it does a lot of wonderful, mighty things. But it's to flow out of us to others, right? To others. Well, during the next commercial, I'll call somebody or text them and I'll tell them a good word from God. And then, but I got to get it done before, by the time the commercial's over, I'll miss my favorite program. And then we wonder why God doesn't use us and why we don't have any power. Because we're so full of Hopalong Cassidy and the Lone Ranger and the football team. And, you know, they tarried. They waited. I'm sure when they got the upper room, they told them, turn your cell phones off. Put your laptops up. You know, praise God. John 7:37, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, any person here thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's such an awesome thing. You see, his brothers just told him, don't go. His brothers told him, go and show yourself. And they're just taunting him is what they're doing. And he said, no, I can't. It's not my time to go, but you can go anytime. See, if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, you can just do what you want to when you want to. If you're big enough to do it, got enough money to do it. So they went on. But he has to wait for the divine direction from the Holy Spirit. So he goes. He's there. They're looking for him. There's some people not happy with him. But he stands up in the middle of this thing and says, any man thirst, let him come to me. Now, you know some people didn't like that. Some people didn't understand it. Praise God. Let him come to me and drink. And if you really look at it, that's some pretty weird talking, isn't it? You come to me and drink. I don't see you where you got a water bottle. Coming to Jesus and drinking this living water of the power of the Holy Spirit, it's difficult. You know why it's difficult for him to come? Because the flesh wants nothing to do with this water. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Verse 38. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly, our innermost being, shall flow rivers of living waters. Praise God. If these rivers of living water, which is the very life of God, the power of God, is not flowing out of us, then do we really believe on Jesus? You call yourself a believer? Where's the rivers of living water flowing out of you? Where are the signs and wonders that he said will follow those that believe? I know that sounds hard, but it's the truth. If our church is one time... when Brother Clendon was young, and he heard on the radio this having a great tent revival, people being healed, awesome things happening, miracles. So he said, honey, he told us, well, we got to go. And they hurried there. They got there an hour early so they could get a good seat. They get there, there's nobody there. They sat on the front seat. Finally, the preacher comes out, and maybe a couple other people said, well, I'm glad to have you here. Why'd you come? He said, well, I came to see those miracles. I said, well, I don't know. We're hoping we'll have them. You know, we're expecting. We haven't seen them yet, but we're hoping we'll have them. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we say that we believe on Jesus and his life is not evident in us, his life is not evident, and does not flow out from us, then is Jesus a liar? He said it would, and it's not happening. But this he spoke about the Holy Spirit, which they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. There's only one thing that the Lord told us to wait for, to desire, to seek for, to get ready for, to make adjustments for, to long for, to ask for. Only one thing. One thing. And behold, I, this is Luke 24:49, send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you or wait in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. One thing, what did he say? Power. till you're endued, clothed with, granted, enveloped with, granted, given, furnished with, provided, invested with power from on high. Is it a suggestion or is it a command? Does ignoring and disobeying a command of the Lord have any negative consequences? And Acts 19:1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said to them, now let me say, when he says disciples, it's not because they call themselves one, it's because the Holy Ghost says they're disciples. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I know some people don't like that word since, just like they don't like the one in Acts 1:8 that says after. So they have new translations to fix that. Since you believed. And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You ever been in one of those places? They don't preach about the Holy Ghost. They don't talk about it because they don't know about him. And they're scared of him.
That's right.
Well, we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, was it possible? What was he asking them? He was plainly asking them if they had obeyed the command of Christ, which they had heard, to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and power. And what does Jesus command all of us to tarry for? I'm telling you, when you go home, and this next week and the rest of your life, you've got a job to do. And that's to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Every morning, you get up early, you tarry for the Holy Ghost. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was growing up. And she told us, it's wisdom. She said, you pray till you pray in tongues. You pray through that. You pray till the Holy Ghost prays through you. Or groans through you or whatever. I don't know if you understand about groaning through you. But that's in the Bible. And in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit prays through us with groanings which cannot be understood. I mean, so deep. But I say things get done when you get there. Now, this is not you. You can't go, so I just believe I'll groan today. The Holy Ghost has to come and groan through you according to the will of the Father. We do a lot of groaning, but it's not the Holy Ghost. What does He command us to tarry for? It's the power that will be given to us by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon us. This power includes the inward revelation of Christ. How are we going to become like Him if we don't have that inward revelation? 2 Corinthians 3:18 is we behold Him as in a mirror. We're changed in the same image from revelation to revelation, glory to glory, revelation to revelation is by the Spirit of God. You've got to see Him in the Spirit to be changed to become like Him. Outward revelations of Christ, teaching, preaching, miracles, whatever, do not change a person. I know that. You know that. The inward revelation does. You know when Elijah's hiding out, ran from Jezebel, and we heard it wasn't in the thunder, it wasn't in the lightning, it wasn't in the wind. Is that still small voice? That inward revelation of Christ. Praise God. Now, and then the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. We know what those are, speaking new tongues, working signs, wonders, miracles, preaching the gospel, the anointing of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. We must tarry for this power. It's not a political power. It's not physical power. It's not financial power. As Pentecostals, and I assume we all are, we make no apologies that we're waiting for the power. I don't mind saying I'm waiting for the power. I don't have it. Peter said, well, don't look on me. It wasn't my power. And it wasn't my holiness. Because that the devil will try to get you on that. You can't do that. I know what you did last time. I know what you said. I know what you thought. It's not our holiness. It's not our power. Praise God. And I'm, please, you understand, I'm not saying just go live like the devil and think you're going to do this, have this power. We're not saying that at all. We're not condoning any of that. Because the only thing that the Lord told us to wait for, to anticipate, was this power of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high. All other powers, earthly power or even demonic power. But the power of the Holy Ghost gives that he gives us is from on high, a power that comes down out of heaven. 1 Peter 1:12, by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I tell you what, there are a lot of sermons being preached today the angels not even interested in. They're not. Now, why do we need the Holy Ghost? Mark 9:1, Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that there will be some of you standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. With power. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God on this earth, which is located in our individual hearts, Jesus said that, must be more than just revelations of the Word of God, but also revelations of the power of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, that I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit, that your faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Power of God. The church and its individual members must do more than just deliver words to a lost and dying world, or videos, or movies, or whatever. More than just music, more than dramas, more than social work, it must also express and deliver the power of God to this world and to the church. John 6:63, it's the Spirit that makes alive. Jesus speaking, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Life. The Word of God is alive, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes the Word of God alive in us. He wrote the book, and He's the only one that can interpret the book.
Yes.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a Spirit. The Word of God cannot be separated from the Spirit of God. Now, John 20:22, and this is right before He goes, ascends into heaven. And after He's come and encouraged Peter and the others to go back to fishing. And when Jesus had said this, He's meeting with them now. He breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to clarify that. They didn't receive then. Okay? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Well, what is it? It's a prophetic. It's prophetic. Because they did not receive until a days later in the upper room. But it's a prophetic breathing on them. A prophetic word to them. It's a prophetic action. It's a prophetic word. He delivered to them. An action with a word that the Father had given to Jesus. Now, everything that God ever intended rests on this prophetic expression of Christ. He said, I must go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. It's important to God. It's important to Jesus. It's important to the church. We must have this power. Wimpy Christians and wimpy churches. Build your big buildings. Get on every TV station you can. Blah, blah, blah. Without the Holy Ghost, it's nothing.
Right.
Without the power of God, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Now, they may get rich off of it.
Yeah.
Everything rests on this prophetic expression of Christ being fulfilled in these disciples and in all believers through all ages. It has not changed. We're not cessationists. We don't believe this has ceased. They don't even have a scripture for it. They try to make one in 1 Corinthians 13. But they don't even have it. All they did is look around and say, well, the church looks dead. Nobody's being healed. Nothing's happening. I guess he stopped doing it. Well, he might have stopped where you're at. Praise God. This prophetic action and word was to be fulfilled in just a few days in the upper room. By the way, you don't read much further. And they had to get together when they're threatened and pray again. And the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. You got to get filled and read the scripture says, well, Jesus isn't the word, but the scripture says, Paul says, he said, be not drunk with wine, verse 6 says, but be filled with the Spirit. That's ongoing. You have to be. Ladies, you probably wouldn't go out of the house without fixing yourself up. Guys, you wouldn't, you know, guys maybe not as much, but you know, you do something. But we'll walk out of the house as dry spiritually as we could be. I didn't have time to pray this morning. You did have, you just didn't do it. You didn't do it. If that boss told you to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning, you'd be there with nails on your toes. But if God tells us to get up at 4 o'clock, sorry, Lord. You know. Praise God. Whenever He tells you to. I told you one, I've said this maybe already here, but when we was working on that new church and I made a commitment to God, and then He told me to go, the Holy Spirit was wooing me. He didn't call me on the phone and tell me. I felt it. And I said, just a minute. Oh, you don't say that to Him. Just a minute. 15 minutes later, it came to me. Oh. And I threw my tools down, ran over there, but He wasn't there. Hey, why should He be there? I was disobedient. I showed Him what was more important to me. One time we had, God had blessed, and we just bought some property next door because we had a half an acre. We didn't really have that much because over all those years, they built that church in 1938, and that's where I was born. And so they're moving. In case you don't know that, so they're building the fence. They're both sides moving the fence in on them. One time they came to church and lay on the south side and moved it right against the building. And so they didn't even have a half acre, but God blessed us and we got this 1 3/4 acres. And we were desperate for parking. And so I had some rock delivered, and I got out there on my tractor, and I was spreading that rock out. Is this wonderful, isn't it? I was spreading the rock out until He comes. And the Lord said to me, what you going to show them in the morning? That's on Saturday. You going to show them this parking lot, or you going to show them something out of the Word? That's what He said to me.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
It's a rebuke. It's a good rebuke. I've never forgot that rebuke. So I made this commitment. I'll put you first, Lord. That doesn't mean you can't do anything, okay? Paul made tense, okay? So just whatever. It doesn't mean you can't do something. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do something. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have dogs, you know. It doesn't mean that you can't do that. But you put God first. And one time the grass. Let me tell you something. Nobody cares like the pastor, okay? I'm sorry, but that's the truth. One Friday night we built on that old building and. I was trying to hook up some, it's turning cold, hook up some gas lines under there. And I was sliding around in that mud on Friday night, trying to hook them, it's cold. And I said, where's everybody at? I know where they're at. They're out eating because it's Friday night and they got their paycheck. But I'm up here sliding under this building, trying to hook this up. Praise God. We had one pastor not far from me. He refused to mow the lawn. He said, if they want it mowed, please, I'm going to say what he said. Hey, they can get their butt up here and mow it because I ain't mowing it. He didn't do a lot of things. But anyway, I got to make a decision. Am I going to go mow that grass or am I going to seek God? Now, don't get this idea I'm this super spiritual somebody, okay? God's dealing with me. And I said, God, I'll stay here and I'll seek you. I've mowed it many times since then. Okay, so I'm seeking God. And about that time I hear, you know, and I peek out the window and the neighbor across the road who's a Baptist, he's over there mowing our yard. But I put God first, the only time he ever mowed it. But but the Lord showed me, he showed me what he can do. Praise God. You know? Well, glory to God. So I got to get back here. No one knows what to expect, do we? They did not know when they got together in that upper room what was coming. Had no idea the wind was going to blow like a rushing violin. They didn't know there was going to be tongues of fire come down. They didn't know there was going to speak in tongues. He told them they would, but they didn't know what the world that was. They didn't know their lives were going to be changed. You don't know. If you get in there and see God, what God will do for you and in you and through you. It's got to be better than that movie you watched. It's got to be better than that ball game that has no eternal value whatsoever. What are you going to go to bed watching a movie or a football game? You're all disturbed, can't go to sleep. I watched that first debate. presidential debate. I spent two or three hours trying to help Donald Trump out. You should have said this. You should have said that. You know, go to bed with the Spirit of God. Go to bed with the Spirit of God. You watch that trash that, I'm not, this is the debate, but you watch all those old movies and you're going to have bad dreams. And then wonder why you had bad dreams, why you couldn't sleep. But if you'd have gotten the sweet presence of Jesus, it would have been better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do I always do what I'm supposed to? No, I don't. But when I don't, I realize it. Praise God. Well, what do they expect? Well, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. If He gives it, it's going to be good. Praise God. If the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus was the same Holy Spirit that came upon the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. I just need to make this clear to you. Everything Jesus did, He did by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by His own power as the Son of God. Philippians 2, He emptied Himself. He had to go to that, to John in the River Jordan. He had to be obedient. He said He had to be. John didn't want to baptize Him. He said, I must be. And when He was obedient and the heavens were open, the Holy Ghost came down upon Him and He was a different man. Not one record of a miracle, I don't care what little storybooks you read, one record of a miracle till that Holy Ghost came on Him.
Amen.
Not anything. The only thing He ever said was, I must be about my Father's business. Well, you know, anybody, I don't mean this wrong, but if you teach your kids right in Sunday school, they can say that. But when the Holy Ghost came, and they said, this man speaks with authority. Praise God. Why? The Holy Ghost was upon him. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, so forth, you know. And you said, well, what if I get the wrong thing? He said, if you ask for a bread, He won't give you a stone. You ask for egg, He won't give you a scorpion, so forth. The devil cannot interfere with the giving of God's gifts. That's the first thing he'll tell you when you speak in tongues. That's just you.
Yeah.
Or you didn't say that's the devil.
Yeah.
He'll say that. And but you got to come at him with the Word of God. And he can't substitute. Praise God. We have a promise if we're truly a child of God. What is the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit? He commanded them, Acts 1:4, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard of me. Again, clearly we see this is a commandment of the Lord. It's not a suggestion. We're either obeying this commandment or we're disobeying. Now, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not ours to make happen, but obeying by tearing is ours to make happen or to perform. Praise God. As surely, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. As surely as there is a baptism under repentance, there's also a baptism with the Holy Spirit that's intended to follow. And we cannot omit or skip one or the other. There was a young man from Mexico who came to our church a long time. He wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but he refused to be baptized in water. And I still don't know today why he's refusing. But he never was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, many are hung up on the baptism of John unto repentance. And there's a book back there I wrote, The Holy Ghost Come Down from Heaven. And in that book, I explain this. See, most of the church world is hung up in the baptism of John. And Acts 19, that's exactly what you see. Because Paul said, well, what have you been baptized unto? And they said, the baptism of John, which is a baptism of repentance. And you talk to them. That's what they're hung up with. But we're to go on to the baptism of Jesus. He shall baptize. John said, I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Well, and no one knows the day or the hour that Jesus returned for his church, and no one knew then, and no one knows now how the Holy Spirit or when the Holy Spirit will come upon tarrying believers. You just wait on him. Praise God. Now, when they were come together, verse 6, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Jesus is saying we must not question His power, the power of the Father. We must receive the power. They wanted to know, what will you do now, Jesus? Jesus made it clear that now, or the next thing, was for them to tarry for and to receive, be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost in that upper room. And everyone at Cornelius' house, I got to clarify or qualify, that heard. You read that, it said everyone that heard. There may be some there that wouldn't hear. But everyone that heard. And then in Acts 19, it says all of those men of Ephesus were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and prophesied. Don't stop with just speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Ask God to give you the gift of prophecy. Praise God, tongues, interpretation. He said, seek earnestly the best gifts. Yes. Desire the gifts. That's the last verse of chapter 12, the first verse of chapter 14. Especially that you may prophesy.
Amen.
Because the next thing that Jesus would be doing was pouring out the promise of the Father upon them. Verse 8, but you shall receive what?
Power.
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After. We can receive, how can we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Only by the coming of the Holy Ghost upon us. When can we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Not before, not without the Holy Spirit. And then only as long as it remains upon us. In Luke chapter 4, you read this, four things about Jesus. He was full of the Holy Ghost. This is after he's baptized in the River Jordan. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's led by the Holy Ghost. He goes in the power of the Spirit. And then where he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. If we're going to be Christ-like, we have to have the same thing. Praise God. I'm just going to move on over here because I see what time it is. Y'all don't turn around and look. But I know what, I see what time it is. Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Did he? Luke 3:21. Now all the people were baptized. When they were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John 1:51, Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us an open heaven.
Yes.
An open heaven, praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, in Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, for his word was with power. Let me ask you this morning, are the words that you speak with power? I don't mean gritting your teeth and doubling your fist and looking wild-eyed, but is it with power? Being loud is not the anointing. Okay? Shaking somebody is not the anointing. Tripping somebody to fall in the floor is not the anointing. You ever been there? You ever been in one of those places? We heard of it down in the town not too far from us. And said, oh, they're falling out in the spirit. Well, let's go. Got down there. And that man did everything but put his foot behind my knee and push me over. But I don't like that. I've seen one time I was a friend of mine grew up become an evangelist, and I went to, because a friend was pastor in the church, so I went, there's two friends, so I went, and they had him up on the platform. It was a show. It really was a show. And they'd come up, he'd touch them, they'd fall over on the floor, giggle, laugh, get up, run around, get back in line. This is fun, you know. And the line's not all that long, like a roller coaster, you know, Six Flags or something. And it was just a thrill. It was a thrill. No, praise God. There's a purpose. Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. His word was with power, and only the word with power gives life. The life of God, you speak in life or death. Romans 1:4 declared to me, Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. It's going to take power to get us out of the grave and get us up there.
That's right.
But if you ain't holy, you ain't going.
Right.
Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The Holy Ghost is not going to raise you from the dead unless you're holy. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies.
Right.
But he's not playing with unholy people.
Right.
We like to sing it, but is it working? in our lives. I'll read 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about I preach fully the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance that you would know what manner of men we are. Mark 16:20, and the disciples went forth, Jesus went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with him, confirming the word with signs following. Praise God. Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Hallelujah. And this one, I want to give you this. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jane, will you come? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen, who are kept by what? The power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, let me ask you what Paul asked those men at Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you? I'm going to tell you this. Life would be a lot more exciting, if you will. But it's just not about excitement. It's about being saved and making heaven. It's about overcoming. It's about being used of God. It's about the peace of God. It's about confidence. It's about confirmation. It's about assurance. It's about the sweet presence of Jesus, the power of God. Sometimes, I told David after he preached, I think it was the day before yesterday after he preached, I felt the power of God so strong. So strong. And I was telling him, many times when I'm preaching, whether it's in the church, the jail, under the bridge, or over at the Russians rehab center, and I want this. If I didn't, I'd get scared. But you get through, and the power of God comes. Don't you want that? Don't you want His presence? I tell you, you're not going to have His presence without there being power there. Praise God. I'm sorry, if you never get healed, if you never get all the things you want, that you think you deserve, praise God, there's nothing that we could get that can compare to the presence of the Lord. I was sitting over there in that room the other morning, and the power of God came on me in that recliner, sitting in there. Oh, hallelujah. There's no money in this world can buy that. There's nothing that can buy that. If you're missing that, you're missing, praise God. He wants you to have it if you'll tarry for it. If you'll seek, if you'll ask, if you'll knock, praise God. If you'll believe, if you'll obey, praise God. Are you here this morning? You'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, or like a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, or whatever you need. If you'll come, we'll pray for you this morning and ask God to touch you. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, send the power, Lord. Send the power, Lord. Send the power, Lord. Send the power, Lord. Lord, don't let us go home from this place without the power. I tell you, if you got demons cast out of you and you go home without the power, guess what's coming back? That's right. You're empty if you don't have the power of God. Praise God. That's right. Send the power just now. Send the power just now.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.